So, hey everyone, I'm making this Q&A video. I said I would make one, and I'm sort of struggling to record this thing because I'm so self-conscious of the way I talk, so I'm sort of stopping this recording and starting it over again, over and over. I figure I might as well just go for it, and if the rambling gets too out of hand and I stutter too much, or, you know, I twist my tongue, you just have to bear with it, so yeah. Okay, so what have I been up to? And why have I not posted that much on Tumblr recently? So I have been drawing a lot, and you are sort of seeing me post things now recently because I have this big backlog of art. What happened was I started drawing things that I wanted to use as stickers, and then I didn't want to upload anything until like my store was set up. So I just kept putting it off until everything was set up, basically. It took me a long time, but yeah. Alright, more questions. How long have I been drawing, and what got me into drawing in the first place, and what keeps me motivated? Here's a question about if there was a special moment or artist's work that got me into drawing, and what are some early inspirations, basically. So, for me, it was when I was 15 or 16, this was in 2009, one of my friends in my class, he got really, really into Naruto and animes, and he didn't have anyone to talk to about. So one day when I was at his place, he decided to show me some Naruto to try and get me hooked on it. And he showed me the fight with Rock Lee and Gaara in the Chunin exam. It's this big fight, and to me that was just mind-blowing, because not even having seen, you know, DBC growing up, being completely fresh to like shonen anime, it was just the coolest thing ever. Like him dropping the weights and being like fast and just, you know, poofing around like DBC style. And it was also pretty violent back then, like never having seen anime before really, except for Pokemon and Sailor Moon. Just seeing blood in like a cartoon like that, like when Rock Lee, he gets like his arm crushed at the end or whatever, and just seeing that, it was so crazy to me, and it really inspired me to see those characters and seeing, you know, basically a cartoon made for you. And you know, Naruto is really for that sort of age, you know, 15, 16, where, you know, you are into violence and all that. So me already sort of being a fan of drawing and art, because I was always drawing growing up, it just really put this big drive in me to try and improve my art. Prior to that, I had never really tried to get better at drawing at all. I was always like doodling when I was playing like a game or whatever, and I remember I used to draw Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank, and I would draw Sly from Sly Cooper, furries. I would also, before that, I liked to draw Link a lot, and the Sora. I thought the Soras were really, really cool. I guess it was really Naruto, my friend pushing me to watch some anime, that really got me going. It made me want to improve, so I would say 2009 is where art went from just being like, you know, a time waster, because I would always draw like in class, just doodle on the side, but I never tried to get better until 2009, and then I really started trying to, you know, push myself more. I still played a lot of games though, like I played World of Warcraft religiously back then, even if I was really bad at it. But I stopped that in like 2011, I stopped playing games on the same scale, and I just started drawing basically all the time. And that was really good for me as like an artist in 2011. As far as early artists go, I would say, you know, I used to watch a lot of like Mark Krylik tutorials back in 2009. I would say that everything was really inspiring to me in like 2009 on YouTube, you know, even like kind of shitty speed paints. I thought that that was so cool because I had no idea how, you know, digital art worked. So seeing someone draw this sparkly anime girl or whatever, it just looked so cool to me. So yeah, I would say like early on, because artists always change. My favorite ones. Back then, it wasn't so much about quality necessarily. It was just things that resonated with me. So, and the artists I liked back then are not the same ones I like now. What motivates me to keep going is sort of leading to a later question. So yeah. All right, this next one is from Bugsby, and it says, I always love hearing about what keeps the artist going. We all have our own techniques and ways of pushing ourselves to either get better or even start doodling something when we're not having a great day. I'd love to hear what keeps you motivated. So, okay, what keeps me motivated and what keeps me going? I would say that this is one of those questions that it doesn't give the most flattering answer, right? Because you would want to hear, this really inspiring talk, but that's not what you're gonna get here, right? So I would say the two things that keep me going is habit and fear, basically, right? It's habit is just I spend like every single day I draw as long as I'm, at my place. If I'm out of town, then no. But every single day I make sure to draw a bunch. So waking up, I just know that I'm gonna be drawing for almost the entire day. And that's just going to get me, to sit down in the chair and to draw. And when I say fear, what I mean is I really don't want to have a normal job, right? Currently, I live at home with a parent, so I don't have to earn a lot of money to get by because I don't pay rent, basically. I sort of steal money, no. But I would say that feel a fire under my ass to make this art thing work. So that's a big motivator too, I feel like I'm running away from a normal job, sort of. And I'm really trying to push forward into, being like a full-fledged professional artist. Currently, I have a Patreon. I earn about half of like what I would need to earn to really sustain myself if I wanted to, live by myself. So I still have ways to go. I guess that's not really motivation, but I would say that those two things, habit and I guess, I call it fear, but it's more a fire under my ass. Those things really keep me going. All right, these next questions are from Zach Turner, Stalafarnahe, Pegasus, and Asriel. So the questions are you going to draw more Neela? Have you ever considered drawing Rosie or the bunny again? And am I going to draw more Isara for future updates? I'm definitely gonna be drawing more Neela in the future. He's one of the characters that I'm still sort of inspired to draw and fits into like a niche sort of character type that I'm still interested in drawing. As far as Rosie, the bunny, or Isara, I'm just currently not that inspired to draw them, to be honest. I might draw them in the future, but I'm not planning on it anytime soon, so sorry. So the next questions are from Dax and Killawub. Dax would like to know what steered me into furry anthro art and how I came to Emily and Neela as characters. And Killawub wonders how I go about making a new character. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna be showing here a little bit. Some stuff. So, all right. How I got into furry or anthro stuff? Like I said earlier, I used to draw like Sly Cooper and Ratchet in Ratchet and Clank. So I always, or I pretty early sort of gravitated towards, I guess, anthro characters. And then when I got to like, browsing hentai online, I guess I just stumbled upon some Dr. Comet or something, and I just thought, I thought those characters, they looked a lot of fun to design because you didn't have as many restrictions. I get like you could just make the skin tone like a bright blue or whatever. That's what I thought back then, at least. Even if most of my characters don't have really wacky designs, but I just thought it looked a lot of fun to design those kind of characters, because you could, you know, push the ears a lot and do crazy like snake eyes on the characters and all that. Of course, you can do that on like a human character too, but back then I found the character designs really appealing. As far as how I got into making Neela and Emily, I have some early art here. So here are some early... I'm just gonna censor that for you from YouTube. Oh shit. I have some early art here. This is the first image I made of Emily, right? It's looking really scrappy right now, but back then I saw some potential here in the red bow, the white hair, and the sort of, I guess, almost pink eye back then. I thought, you know, there was something here. Even if back then I also thought, like, the body is so messed up here, right? Like, the side view here, it's so weird. But I saw some potential here, so I decided, you know, I'm just gonna try again. I'm gonna try again, and when I did, it sort of stuck with me. A lot of the time, my designs, they start off, and all the elements that make the design special are really, really downplayed, right? These are some early drawings of Neela, right? I didn't really know how I wanted him to look early on. I just knew I wanted him to be really pale, because I had another sort of horse character back then that was, you know, darker in the fur color. So I sort of wanted two of them, one to be more dark-skinned, I guess, and one to be much brighter. So here you can see that you sort of have the same elements in the final, you know, I removed the earring, but you can see here that the elements that go into like the hairstyle here are really, they are really cowardly, sort of. Same here for like the bow is really small, the hair poof is really small. So for Emily, you know, when I decided that, okay, I know these are the elements that I'm gonna go with, I changed the earring up, because having like a hoop earring on an ear like this, I just don't really, it's sort of annoying looking sometimes. So, you know, I changed this, I knew the sort of hairstyle I was going for, so I just made it bigger. And the poof, you know, I made that way bigger, and I made the hair bow just way bigger. I just wanted everything to, you know, make her more iconic. I just pushed all the elements that I had. So immediately, I feel like the design got a lot stronger, just, you know, pushing the elements bigger. And the same sort of went for Neela here. I drew this thing, I thought it was, you know, like, I wasn't super happy, but I thought something was there. But then I doodled this thing, and I was like, oh shit, I want him to have really giant hair, right? And back then, you know, his hair was more of a gradient from a light tone into like a reddish tone, and I was also thinking of like maybe having like sparkly stuff in it, but then I thought it looked like, you know, that thing where people get like white flakes in the hair or some shit, and yeah, I didn't want it to look like that. So yeah, but you can see here that, you know, you have the golden ring around the hair, which is in the final design that I'm still drawing nowadays, but it's like tiny here. And the hair ball, it's like, it's just tiny. But I wanted to give it more volume, so, you know, I made it really big. And instead of having the ball up top and then having the hair in the bottom, I sort of decided that I wanted to have like a huge golden ring. And I wanted the hair to have more volume, so I decided, you know, if the hair poofs up on top, that gives it more volume, right, from like the side view. So I can gather the hair underneath and then poof it up the top, and that's just going to give it a lot more volume. And once I had this sort of thing, I sort of knew, you know, that, all right, this sort of hairstyle is cool. So Yeah, I started off with the elements, green eye sort of, and the small golden ring, and you know the sort of haircut, like a ponytail almost with like a bun, but I just arranged them the dif differently, and I really played up the elements, so the poof became poofier, the bun became bunnier, and the golden ring just got really huge. So with Emily, it's sort of similar. I knew what elements that I wanted, but I pushed them a lot more. Alright, so when it comes to how I make a new character hair clothes, like I sort of showed, I tend to start off thinking more about colors and which elements that I'm gonna use. So, for example, let's say I want to draw like a fox character. Instead of trying to draw a really pretty fox character, I sort of start off with, you know, just, all right, I want the fox to be, you know, sort of orange-ish, and you know, a fox has the white tip, hair tip. Maybe they have like some white detail in the face. I don't know. I don't know how foxes look. I don't draw foxes, but you know, maybe a fox has, you know, some stuff like this. I don't know. And I think they often have some darker like feet, like, right? They have some darker feet. Now, when it comes to the hair and the clothes, I don't always have to pay attention to clothing because, you know, I often draw characters without clothes. But let's say I want to draw a nice hairstyle on this character. I try to think of colors that work well. So I think this looks awful. Blue. I don't like that either. I think you could get away with like this sort of color for hair if you wanted to. I don't think that looks really weird. But you have to also be mindful of like the values, right? So maybe like I often want some contrast in the value, so maybe making that even lighter. You get some more light versus this sort of mid-tone, and then you have the darks. And maybe I want some like a hair clip in there too. And I could make that hair clip any color, right? Maybe I want a cooler color. I could just make the eyes a cool color, like a cold color, because I don't really have that many cold colors. So I start off sort of trying to do. This looks like some shitty furry design. Let's actually just. I'm just not gonna give it fantasy colors. I'm just gonna be like. I'm just gonna make it like a darker brown. Alright. And I'm gonna give her a hair clip. Okay. So I start off with the colors like this. I start off just thinking about colors, and I start off thinking. I really try to get the colors looking good. I don't worry at all about that character looking pretty at this stage. All I'm worrying about is the color setup and maybe the material, right? Like this is maybe a glossy thing. Now, let's say for colors, we already introduced this. And yeah, we had some of that color in the hair. Let's just give it to like the dress now. Let's say she had a dress on, right? Maybe wanted to. I think it's looking kind of weird, so I'm just gonna make it like. It's gonna have this sort of gradient on. And maybe she has like a white necklace, right? Okay. So now we have this sort of character here. And many of you people will say, like, what the fuck is this? You know? This is just some bullshit right here. You haven't proved anything. I feel like you can make a lot of character designs and you can check if they work at a stage like this, because you will probably be able to tell if a design is really shitty at this stage, or if it works. Like, I don't think this is amazing, but I think it would work for a cute character, right? The thing is, you have to think about it like this. A professional artist could draw a cute anthro fox, right? That's just a fact, right? It's been done before. Lots of artists have drawn cute anthro foxes. So your challenge should not necessarily be to just draw a cute anthro fox, because you know that can be done. That's not the big challenge here. The big challenge is drawing a new design of a cute anthro fox. So if you're just thinking about like basic elements, you have hair, you have, you know, hair color, you have the fur color, which on a fox, you know, for it to read as a fox, you sort of need to keep it at this sort of orangish thing. And the eye color, you could go with whatever. I chose blue, it's sort of a basic color. You could go green if you want. You could have, you know, I think blue works well because it's sort of complement to the orange, but you could go, you know, I don't know. I think blue works best here because it's a cool color too. But yeah, so this is step one, right? Step two would be to actually try to figure out, like, what's this hair look like, you know? What are the ears? Are the ears big or small? And I don't know how to draw fox faces, but this is going to be the same character, right? So imagine, you know, if you are really good at drawing like these kind of fox characters, you could probably get this to work out, right? Like, it shouldn't be that difficult once you have this, to just go into this and already have so many problems solved. Okay, so I'm just gonna be answering some other questions now, while the drawing progresses in the background. I'm sort of going to speed up the drawing process so it ends when the questions end. Okay, so my favorite food from mom, and pineapple on pizza. Maybe pineapple on pizza is my favorite food. It's not. I actually, when I was like 12 maybe, I used to eat this pizza that had fucking, it had shrimp and pineapple on it, on like a normal pizza. And that was like the only topping. Well, apart from like tomato and cheese. It sounds really gross when I think about it. I remember I used to have that, and then I sort of removed the shrimp from it, and I just had pineapple on it. Then I sort of switched from pineapple on pizza to mostly like kebab pizza, because that's a big thing here in Sweden. So I would say, you know, nowadays I rarely have pineapple on my pizza, but I don't think it's a big sin, so fight me on that. My favorite food now, though, I really like Thai food recently. I like this one dish I get near me that has like spicy basil on it. It's like chicken in some sort of thing with spicy basil and rice. I really like that one. That would be my current favorite food. Okay, the next question is from Vafiel Alaru Kiku. How do you deal with negativity and harsh criticism? I used to be very unfit for taking unwanted criticism, but nowadays I do my best to remind myself that at the end, my satisfaction is most important. So how do you keep your chin up? This is a hard question for me to answer, because I don't get that much negativity or harsh criticism, at least not like based like on my art directly. I feel, you know, you've heard this before probably, that the criticism that hurts the most is the criticism that rings true, that you know, sort of agree with. And it's the same with me. The thing though with that is, like, I think two times or something, I've gone on like E621, which is like a furry gallery site. And you know, if you want to hear some critique of your art, you will mostly find it on sites where it's not your own gallery, right? People are much more willing to talk shit about images when they don't know if you're gonna see it or not. So I've seen maybe twice or three times criticism on E621 where I actually learned something from the shit talking. And I sort of take steps to try and get better at it that way. So, you know, I sort of agree with you. Like, I'm the same in a way where, for a while at least, whenever I heard criticism, my first reaction is to get very defensive, right? Because I always go through, you know, things in my head about what works in my art and what doesn't work. And when I hear something new that doesn't work that I haven't necessarily considered too much, but it's somewhere deep in my brain, I can still feel that, you know, it might ring true. I get really defensive at first and I think to myself, you know, that nah, that's not an issue. And I might sort of defend myself from the criticism with some weird excuse like, oh, it's my style, dude. Or, you know, maybe I do have just this this sort of misunderstanding of the rules, right? Like, maybe I've started justifying something I do that might not be perfect, and I'm justifying it as my style, which, you know, that's almost like a joke, you know, it's my style. Of course, a lot of the time that's just kind of BS, and a lot of people are sort of, you know, ridiculing that sort of person, but a lot of people, I think, actually do that it's my style excuse mentally to themselves. Maybe they don't use enough contrast, or they don't use enough, you know, value or enough cast shadows or form shadows, but they sort of mentally, they tell themselves that, you know, that's not the look I'm going for, you know? And maybe it isn't really the look they're going for, but their art might actually improve quite vastly with those changes though. So sometimes maybe you're just hesitant to change, and that's why the criticism hurts you, because, you know, you don't want to change some things about your art because maybe those things are very difficult for you to change. I don't know, I think it's very difficult, and I think depending on your mental state, it changes it a lot. If you have a lot of self-doubt, then criticism is much harder. How do I keep my chin up? If the criticism is on the art, you can't take it too personally. And I know it. Some people, you know, all you have is your artwork, and it's very difficult to remove yourself from it because maybe your life is absolutely shitty, and you feel like the only thing in your art, in your life that matters, and the only thing you're really spending quality time on is your artwork. So then when someone shits on it, it feels really bad because it's like, oh, the only thing I stand for is my own artwork, and now this person is shitting on the only thing I stand for, right? It's like painting one image for your entire life and then realizing that this one painting is actually garbage. That doesn't feel good, right? You feel like you've wasted your time at that point. So I would say, if you're not finding an audience yet, but you are finding negative criticism, then maybe work on your skills and wait a little bit before you post your art online. Wait until the positive feedback sort of outshines the negativity you're getting, right? If people are just talking shit on you. That being said, there are some themes, like if you are one of the people who draw, you know, really weird diaper, I don't know, fucking Bart Simpson in diaper. If that's your sort of subject matter, then I think it's going to be difficult to avoid criticism, right? You have to find some really weird circles to avoid criticism if that's the sort of content you're drawing. So Yeah, it's a very personal sort of conclusion you have to come to. And I think also the first few, unwanted criticisms, or the first times you get some hate on your art, that's when it hurts the most. And you also, another thing that helped me is you have to see whenever someone talks shit on you about you online, you have to see it as your brain should immediately think, okay, this is practice. Like you immediately get this bad feeling, horrible feeling. Oh shit, this person talked smack. But your first instinct should maybe be to just think of it as an opportunity to get a thicker skin, right? Because just imagine these YouTubers, going through all the drama, right? Just imagine like the shit they get, and they are broadcasting their face, their personality, their brand. They are completely connected to what's getting criticism. It's not just their work, it's everything about them that they get shit on for, and threats and everything. And some of those people, they don't give a shit because they are so used to it, and they still have their audience, they have people who do like what they're making. They just have to detach themselves a little bit from the online community. So I hope that helps. It's a long answer, it's very personal. Okay, next questions come in from Romaine and Yon Doe or whoever. Okay, questions are, can you explain your love for drawing? And have you made specific studies for that? And have I ever expanded into other art forms like sculpture? So I would say that my love for drawing, or my passion for it, I guess I can't explain it, it just came naturally. But as far as studies and expanding into other art forms, I went to a high school with an art sort of direction. It's still high school, so you're not really getting professional teachers, and you have to do math and chemistry and all that. So I really, like, study-wise, I would say that I really didn't learn anything. It was mostly mental, the thought of, okay, art is it's actually the thing that I've chosen, and your family, or my family, they sort of accepted me trying to pursue art more because I actually went into that sort of education, even if the education itself didn't teach me much about art at all. Yeah, in high school, we had to, try some different things like oils and some sculpture and all that. The teaching wasn't very good, so I was really shitty at it. That being said, I've tried some ZBrush and I've just like dabbled a tiny bit in Blender. And Blender is really technical and it's really scary. It's like, it doesn't even feel like art to me at this point. Like ZBrush, I'm shitty at ZBrush. I bought ZBrush Core, right? So it's not as confusing. I would say that ZBrush, when I'm in ZBrush, I feel like I'm taking part in art, somewhat. I feel like I'm moving the sculpture. It has the dynamesh feature, so I don't have to think much about polygons or any of that shit. I just worry about making the form. In Blender, though, I haven't spent as much time in Blender, but it feels really technical, and like you're using a mouse, it doesn't feel like art. I truly think people can make amazing work with box modeling and with Blender. I just, for me, as coming from like a 2D place, it feels very technical, it feels very scary. It's not really something that even feels attached to art for me at the moment. It feels more like pushing numbers around a little bit. Next up is from Gem Hunter. What keeps you from giving up on a piece? So I would say that what keeps me from giving up, I've gotten to a stage now where when I do art, I make sure, like when I'm doing a finished image, I make sure my line my lines on my drawing before coloring, I make sure it holds up well enough. This usually results in me finishing the picture because I sort of just rely on the drawing and the colors. Even if the colors, even if I struggle with them, I can sort of create something okay at the end. And since the drawing is there, you know, I sort of have the foundation. I would say though that in the past, I wasn't as strict with the drawing, and maybe I jumped into doing flat colors too early, and I ended up a few times like, sort of, I would draw the thing and I would zoom in, I would do the line art, and then when I colored, I would start noticing all these problems that I didn't notice earlier, and I just kept changing and fiddling around with things, and it just made me give up on it. So I would say what keeps me from giving up on it is that I sort of have to create art because I'm trying to make this my living. And I feel like the foundation works well enough, so that keeps me from giving up. So next question is from Shio Jaisk. Why do you draw such amazing art of things most people don't draw? Well, thank you. I guess most people want to be able to show their friends what they draw, so maybe that's why they don't draw really lewd pigs in weird situations. I don't know. Next question comes from Tequila on Stilts. That's a good name. I just now realized you're also a Swede. Ever thought of going to a con like Nordic FussCon? Yeah, I've thought about it. Probably not. Not this year. Maybe the next one. I would like to be able to sell some stuff, probably, if I go. It's sort of expensive to go there, and I usually don't like to go to cons and stuff in like winter season. It's like cold and you have to travel a bit, and oh, I don't really like it. But yeah, I'll probably go at some point. I might like sell some stuff if I make some merch or whatever. Could be cool. Next question from Taco Head Shark. What was the inspiration for your username? What was the inspiration for your Taco Head Shark? I would say I actually drew the first like furry picture that I knew I was going to post. You can see it on my Fur Affinity, the very first image that I posted there. I drew that first, and then I just decided that like, okay, I'm gonna try posting this and see if I get any sort of feedback, and I just wanted to post it. It was like the first furry thing that I had drawn. So I took a walk because back then I had that as like a habit. Every day, every morning I would take a walk. So I took a walk and I was just brainstorming the whole way. It was like a 45-minute walk and I was just going like, I wanted to start with a C and I need there to be two words because I want people to be able to Google it, right? So those were my things. I wanted people to be able to Google it quick and I wanted it to stick. So I wanted, you know, the two words. If I combine two words, I wanted them to sort of ring together, I guess. So I was thinking, you know, like, cyan cargo. I was walking past some trains, like cargo trains. I was like, cargo capsule cargo. And then I thought of like a pill, like a capsule, like cyan capsule. I did not have cyanide in mind at all. I thought of cyan because that was my favorite color back then. I don't know what my favorite color is now. But back then it was definitely cyan, and I also liked magenta a lot. So I wanted cyan, I wanted another word to start with C. I tried to force it, I came up with cyan capsule, and yeah, that's just what I went with. Alright, next question from King Boomer. Who's your all-time favorite cartoon character? Do animes count? I was thinking about this for a long time, and I don't actually know what my favorite cartoon character would be. It's really difficult. But I would say that recently, my favorite anime character would have to be... I really like shitty characters. I like characters that aren't super pretty and aren't super strong. I think my recent like favorite show I watched recently-ish, past like 2 years. I really liked One Punch Man, and I really liked Moomin Rider, the shitty biker with a big heart. I just really like him as a character. He's like I mentioned earlier how back in the day I got into drawing from watching the fight between Rock Lee and Gaara, and Rock Lee was also a character I used to like a lot because like he can only do like taijutsu, is that the name of it? I don't know, like the punching thing. He can't do any like magic stuff, and he's like a big fan of his fucking teacher, so he kind of dresses as him, and he's not pretty. He has these weird like frog eyes. He's still wicked strong, especially early on, but I feel like Moomin Rider is sort of Rock Lee, but to the very core. It's like Moomin Rider has an even bigger heart, and he's even shittier at fighting. He's just like a biker in a silly biking outfit. So yeah, I just ship him and Saitama a lot. I feel like, you know, Saitama has the strength and he has the power, but he lacks the willpower, whereas Moomin Rider, he's sort of the opposite. He lacks the strength, he's shitty at fighting, but he has the heart, he has the ambition to, you know, make the world a better place and fight the bad guys and all that. So I think they could be a good couple, you know. So yeah, Moomin Rider. So yeah, those were most of the questions that I got. I'm sorry if I missed you. I'm gonna try to respond to you via text. Yeah, I don't know if I'm making another video anytime soon. It's sort of a stress on me to make these videos, but I guess maybe the first one, maybe it's gonna get easier after this. But yeah, I hope this video wasn't too rambly and dry. Thank you for watching, and hit that subscribe button, yeah.